got job descriptions for similar positions from Town of Gilliland, Town of Colony, and I think there was one other one that we looked at. I can't remember where it was from. But we also had extensive discussions with the union on that, and all of these places, they are also covered by the same union, and there's no issue with union members being in that position. It's well understood by management and by the union. These are not management positions. They are clearly a supervisory-only position. They all felt there was no need to have wording in there, A, that says you had to be a member of the union to be in a position, because, as Patrick pointed out, that's not necessary. They're still covered by the union, whether they chose to join when they got hired or not. They're still technically part of it. You're still paying union dues, so the union didn't have an issue with that. And as far as they didn't feel there was a need to have specific wording in there that this was not a management position, because the duties that were outlined in the job description clearly don't fall within what FMLA would consider a management responsibility. So we took those types of references out of the job description and cleaned up some of the other language. So what you have is what the union and myself, through collaboration, what we have agreed upon. This is what we want the job description to be.
Not from a statement, no labor management.
So we had talked about, there's no formal pay structure in place at the present time. I think we agreed that we would continue to use the pay rates that we did for the shift leaders,
right,
and then negotiate something as a contract, to start contract negotiations to get that ironed out, as well as before we do the budget.
And we're getting close to that, as well as, we started sending some of our stuff to our representative. Not everything yet, because it's just been the last 10 days. We just haven't had a lot of availability to get documents around. But hopefully we can get going on that, because we'd like to get most of that done before our budget season, and maybe
we're ahead of you, we'll not behind it.
Well, if we try to start out that way, if we end up there, we don't know, but I'd rather be proactive than trying to get reactive behind it, absolutely.
The first step is to get the position created, and then work on filling it, and then finalizing the compensation piece. I think most of the people, and obviously the union's going to let them know that, look, you can apply for the position, but, the compensation is going to be adjusted once we get the contract ratified.
So we don't have a prepared resolution, but we'd be willing to entertain if everybody wants to move forward with those positions. But we want to list them out.
And then the last one is I will tell you that I don't have a recommendation for you this evening on an ALS coordinator. I've talked with our medical director. We had two people apply for the position, and the medical director would like to meet with those people individually, kind of a brief interview. We have not been able to set that up yet. So I'm hoping to have that done and have a recommendation to you
for the June
6th meeting.
Whatever the first Tuesday is, I don't know the day.
Right.
I just come down on the first Tuesday of the month.
The last one is the advanced emergency medical technician / interim medic job description. We have not had a job description for that job type. It's been a job class that we put people in. It's a pay grade. It's in the contract. But there's never been a job description for that. As I've said before, my vision is, since we're trying to move away from having advanced EMTs, now keep in mind, there's a difference between the certification of advanced EMT and what we're talking about here, the job title of advanced EMT / interim medic. I didn't want to create a whole other job title because we already had it. I just wanted to revise and come up with a job description to go along with that. This is basically the paramedic job description with the wording says this job title or this position must be certified as an advanced EMT or paramedic.
That's that, gives us a nice spot when we get a paramedic that's
right. So this is
got a credential or what have you, and if we got that spot, it's right. A progression up the scale until a possible paramedic position comes available within
exactly.
Our organization.
And you know, I think we've used that position effectively over the last few years, and this is going to kind of help codify that with an official job description going forward. There's nothing in here that says we have to hire somebody as an advanced EMT.
Right.
There's nothing that says, and there's nothing in the contract that says if someone has the advanced EMT certification that we must appoint them to this job title.
Right.
That's not required. That's at our discretion.
Good.
So we will decide who gets put into that job title. Nothing is automatic, and you know, I think the union realizes that after the Justin Ball case, that it's not automatic.
Right. Exactly. All right, so you want to make a motion that we accept these job titles?
Motion.
Unless we have any further questions first, so is everybody kind of understanding and clear where we're... I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction on the interim medic and such like that. I like that idea considerably.
Second.
So we got a motion on the floor by Dawn. We got a second by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion so carried. And that was the bundle of all in the ones. So that'd be down to Mr. Hammond.
So the only other thing I had really was a discussion about full-time positions. We've had people come, go, move around. We had one full-time medic retire. Earlier in the year, another full-time medic left the field completely. So a couple people that were in the advanced EMT full-time positions have been moved up into paramedics. So right now, we have 8 full-time paramedics. So all of the budgeted full-time lines for paramedics are filled.
Filled, okay.
We had 3 lines for full-time advanced EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's only 1 person in that. One got promoted to paramedic, the other one has resigned. That was Zoac.
So we got two advanced EMT / medic positions available.
Well, two full-time advanced EMTs, and then there is 1 vacant full-time EMT slot.
Well, how many would we have?
So all total, we have 16 full-time positions budgeted. There was a line for a 7th full-time EMT, but we zeroed that out in the budget. It's still on the list, but it's zeroed out.
So we've
it
had
has
8
been for a couple years now.
Right, so we had 8 paramedics, 3 advanced EMTs, and 5 EMTs.
Right.
Okay. And we got 3 vacancies, or available slots.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have, you know, I'd like to convert at least 1 of those advanced EMT positions to an EMT position and advertise to fill 2 full-time EMT slots. And then we really don't have anybody in who's qualified presently for an advanced EMT slot, and I wanted to get this job description out there and kind of hold off on that other position until I know maybe we will have somebody who we want to promote into that. But right now, I don't. So I don't necessarily want to say I want to convert all those positions yet. So we may have a need for 1 of those in the future.
Okay.
So you would advertise for 2 full-time EMTs?
Right.
Okay.
Right now, we have 8 or 9 vacant permanent shifts in the schedule for EMTs that are being filled by part-timers, by overtime for full-timers. Sometimes we have a medic working an EMT shift. I just want you to understand that if we fill these full-time positions from within, that's not going to solve those holes,
right?
Because the reality is, it's probably going to be somebody who's already working 24 hours a week who gets a full-time position, which means they're only going to pick up one more extra shift.
And you still got all the overtime. You put back over, you put the overtime still happening because we got the shift. So right. If we take everything, I'm always an advocate, if we got great employees that work for us, we should still get that opportunity. That way we retain them for a long, long time. I think that's a good thing. But I understand what you're saying. We still need to bring some fresh, new employees into our squad to fill these holes. Otherwise, you got summer vacations coming, right? I mean, there's a burnout issue. There's a lot of things to
do. Yeah, I mean, the money's in the budget. Actually, we come out ahead if we eliminate a advanced EMT.
Keep track of it down. Right.
Yeah, so I make the motion to allow George to advertise for 2 full-time EMT positions.
If you want a motion on that,
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried.
These 3 part-timers you want.
Yeah, that's right. I think about one other thing.
We've got to make the 3
part-timers. Well, this is part of your list.
Yeah. Another nice thing. So, yeah, after I sent you the email last week, Ronnie got back to me. I forwarded her the background investigation results. She reviewed those, and she said that there was no issues, and we were okay to move forward with that. So I don't believe right now none of these 3 people are interested in a full-time spot. One of them may down the road, but right now they're looking to pick up, maybe.
There's new faces, though, right? They're not going to work. Yeah, so that's a plus.
So right now the job market is still very tight. We're not seeing a lot of applicants, and we lost one person who was working fairly regularly to a higher paying job somewhere else.
In the field.
Again, that's something that's going to have to be discussed during the contract talks. Where are we at comparatively? We've got to do a market analysis to find out what's everybody else paying, and do we need to make adjustments? Remember, we were kind of ahead of the curve. That was 3 years ago. Now everybody's catching up or leapfrogging. So
it's all competition.
Yeah, so that's the labor pool.
So the labor pool.
Well, the thing is, Cobles still how many EMTs are they putting out? I mean, that's
right. No, Cobles still. You got Questar 3 that has a paramedic or EMT program for high school seniors.
Well, in 2 years, we haven't seen anybody come out of that program.
Saw 2 kids from Catsville that are currently in the program that started this morning.
That's good.
That's real good.
But will they end up?
Right. We don't know. We have their
telephone numbers, contact information. Get their emails, send them all and drop them.
I can find out.
Every year,
it's all about the network.
I'll see Mr. Bach tomorrow morning. Tomorrow afternoon.
Every year, the county runs an EMT class, starts in September, ends in March, April. This year, they had 4 students that completed the program. Of those 4, only 2?
One or two
are actually considering working in the field.
And I think one of them will here.
And one of them is one of the 3 that is on that list.
Okay. So we want a motion to bring these new employees on.
Motion. So give me read the names off. I make a motion under the recommendation of the ambulance chief to hire as part-time EMTs pending their pre-employment physical and drug screening, Joshua Adams, Wincy Hernandez, and Barry Roush.
I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Now, if you got qualified people that want to come on board.
And if you know anybody in the town, high school age, that's looking to get involved in this, the county did just pass a resolution that they're willing to. There's no more volunteer ambulance services that'll pick up the state reimbursement for going through the EMT class. So it's a burden for a 17 or 18 year old, to shell out $800-$900 for an EMT class. The county has agreed to up to 10 for the year, kind of a scholarship. They'll fund it if there's hardships or whatever. So if you know of anybody in the town,
Has the county seen that on their Facebook page?
Not yet.
Because, I mean, that's something that we can piggyback on and put it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we just had a council meeting yesterday where they confirmed that the county has agreed to do that. They're also looking at trying to run both a daytime and an evening EMT class. The daytime one will be more like a college schedule. They'll meet for 4 hours, 2 days a week, as opposed to the 2 or 3 hours, 1 or 2 days a week. So it's over 4 months instead of the 8 months that it may take for the evening class. So it's a little bit of an accelerated, may be more appealing to someone who's just coming out of high school or whatever, that's got some time in their schedule. So we're hoping. We had a discussion yesterday about the best avenues to get that word out there. I think we're going to also work with the county promotion department to get it across all the county Facebook profiles.
It should go to every high school college.
Get it out to the stores.
Everybody has an ambulance or a regular. Should be putting that out there to try to help.
So they're working on coming up with the message and the information, and we'll get it out there.
Because we'll definitely share that on ours. I mean, the thought down the road is maybe we should, I know it's additional work, but even if we didn't post overly, frequently, just having a Facebook page for, Catskill Rescue, it seems like it's a little contagious out there. I think it does put our...
Well, the senior center has their own.
Right, and it does put us out there a little bit, if you... people like good field stories, and you guys have them every day, and you do a lot. And I think sometimes other rescue squads are doing that, so people know that they're out there. We're, in that arena. I think it could be a positive for us.
How much does that cost?
$800. I mean, if you had to pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah, but I would be opposed to putting that four of those cars out there for next year to sponsor us.
A lot of agencies are doing that. They're sponsoring people to go through the course and then...